blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 1, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter number 1.
Let us read this morning what we can find in God's Word, and that in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. But let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is under the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Siphon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal Siphon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt us with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get mine honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten mine honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariot and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavenly. So that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Peter de Kock, whose brother passed away in the Netherlands this morning. Miss Alana Oudshoorn was spared in a car accident in this past week. Mrs. Laura Slingerland from Calgary has come home from the hospital. And Dustin Grisnick had surgery this past week, and hopefully we'll be able to come home today. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, whose might and power we have heard in this morning hour already, where thou didst stand for thine own afflicted people, who had to come under the hand of their enemy in this world and had to experience that all hell was let loose against them with an intention to bring them to annihilation, to bring them into the grave, to bring them to their destruction. But Lord, then we may read of the salvation of the Lord, and how that thou art stronger than all the enemies that are in thy church and in thy time, and though it be not in the time of thy people, yet in thy own time, thou wilt deliver them so completely from the hand of their enemies that they shall see them all dead upon the seashore. Lord, it is a work wherein thou wilt receive all the honor and all the glory in the life of thy church, that it may also be experienced in the midst of us, that there may be those who cry out under the bondage of sin and Satan in this world, and that whose cry must come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, that thou may send forth thyself for their deliverance, that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place, whose eyes go over the whole world, that thou may say also in our days, I have seen the affliction of my people in the land of Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come to deliver them. O Lord, that it may be for this one or that one in the midst of us who feels something of the strength of death, that spiritual death, and that feels something of the great impossibility to deliver themselves therefrom. Oh, that in this morning that have come up to thy house of prayer with a cry in their heart, O God, deliver me. Wilt thou regenerate me? Wilt thou convert me? Wilt thou pluck me as a brand from the burning, that I may be engrafted into that living vine? O save me from that destruction that I have brought upon myself and my father Adam. Save me from the choice of my natural flesh, which is to choose my own destruction. Lord, deliver me. Come from thy side. And oh, glorify thyself in my life and in the life of my children and of my grandchildren. Lord, that thou may give that such ones may be in the midst of us, that thy Spirit's work may be evident, and that there may be room and place for thy holy word, a plowed up ground where the seed of thy word can fall and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Look thou upon us in mercy then in this morning hour. Look upon each and every one of thy children, whatever their condition is in this life, for the body and also for the soul. It is a people that are taken into thine account. Thou, Lord, wilt care for them, and thou wilt never leave them, and thou wilt never forsake them. It is thy own cause, it is thy own purpose, it is thy own decree, it is thy own work, it is thy own word. Oh, that they may feel something of it also in this morning hour. Thy house of prayer, when they have come up once again, maybe with a heart that is in a dead and in a cold and a hard condition. Oh, but thou who art able to revive thy work in the midst of the years, look upon them then in this morning hour. And wilt thou visit them from above? Oh, give that new ones may be brought, Lord, that thou may instruct that thou may give life from the dead, and that thou may grant that also in this morning there may be profit to the building up of thy own kingdom. Look upon young and old and all our needs and cares in this life. Remember him that has lost a brother in the Netherlands in this morning hour. Lord, he has become old himself as even his brother. But Lord, then the callings in his life are so very, very many. And he is not ignorant of that fact that he also must go the way of all flesh. And that his time here below is so very, very short. The ailments of his own body do increase. And that moment will also come so soon for him, that the last breath in this world is taken. And what shall it then be for his soul? Oh, that thou may look upon him in these days, and that thou may bless this way which man cannot bless. Oh, that thou may grant him that new life from above. Oh, give us to supplicate also for the ones who have become old under thy truth, whose heart also, as the natural way is, does become colder and harder. Lord, thou art almighty, and that takes but one word from thee, whose voice is powerful, whose voice is full of majesty, to awaken from the dead. Oh, look upon him with his wife and all his family together. Wilt thou also look upon the young mother that has been brought home from the hospital, when thou hast made all things well to this moment, and that thou hast spared her from having to receive surgery? Wilt thou continue to heal her in the body and humble the hearts of both of them together? Lord, sanctify these ways also her. That has been involved in a car accident in the week that is gone by. Lord, thou knowest it is another calling in the midst of this family wherein have been so, so many callings, one after the other, and a spared time and time again. Oh, Lord, that these callings in their young lives as children and also as parents, oh, that they may not go by unsanctified, but that thou may work, Lord, and that they together may one day rejoice in the ways of the Lord, when they may behold thy own work, and that the dealings of the Lord in their life, that they may be not without profit. May it be also for each and every one of us, the young people. Oh, how close that we are, even when we are young, how close. But a step, Lord, between us and death. Oh, that thou may give us to take heed of these callings, and that they may be sanctified and blessed in the midst of us, and that we may hasten for the sake of our life. Look upon the little boy who has been in the hospital and operated on in the week that has gone by. And once again, thou hast brought him through also. Lord, that thou may continue to heal him, and wilt thou bless these means and this difficult way in the midst of this family also, for them together. Oh, look upon all those that are ailing in this world in mind and body, all widows, widowers, and orphans. So much misery, so much experience of the consequences of our sin. But Lord, may it be that the cause of all this may also be bound upon our hearts, and that sin itself may become a burden unto us, because the love of God is born in our hearts, and that thy goodness may yet lead us to true repentance, and that the evil of sin may be felt and experienced in our soul, that we may flee therefrom in the way of true repentance. Lord, go thou with all thy truly sent servants this thy holy day over the length and the breadth of the whole world, and continually day by day and week by week, help us also to bring thy word for a moment in this morning. Lord, uphold us in the body and give us strength therein, that we may be enabled to do our work with diligence and with faithfulness. And wilt thou fill us also with thy Holy Spirit, that thou may be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us in this morning hour, that it may be good to be together in thy house for a moment. Take away all the buyers and the sellers and all the hindrances. And wilt thou bless us from above, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 18, stanzas 3, 4, 6, and 7. The wicked thinks in foolish pride, there is no God who will repay. He has no fear of God or men, because God's judgments long delay. Psalter number 18, stanzas 3, 4, 6, and 7. Thank you. congregation was the water of the Red Sea a blessing or a curse? What do you think, children? The water of the Red Sea, was that a blessing or was that a curse? Say that was both. For one, it was a blessing. For another, it was a curse. For Israel, it was for their deliverance. It was for their salvation. For them, it was a great blessing. For Pharaoh and his host, it was their destruction. For them, it was a curse. And it was the same water. And now that water, we read in God's word, is a picture. Because the Apostle Paul says that the children of Israel were baptized in the sea. Thus, that water, that is a type, it is a signification. That people may see something in it of the blood of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does the Lord say concerning that blood? What does he say concerning that sacrifice, that mediator? He says that for some, that will be a savor of life unto life. But for others, he will be a savor of death unto death. That is that same divine person. For one, we read, he will be a sanctuary. He will be a refuge. He will be a hiding place. For another, he will be a stone of stumbling, and he will be a rock of offense. Thus, it is a point for us of examination. What will he be, congregation, for us? Will it be for a blessing, or will it be for a curse? Our text, and with the help of the Lord in this morning, can be found in the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. The epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Thereof, the 11th chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Then we wish to consider the 29th verse, Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. So far, the words of our text. Faith and presumption with their fruits. Thus, two thoughts. First, faith and its fruits. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Second, presumption and its fruits, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Faith and presumption with their fruits. First, faith and its fruits. Second, presumption and its fruits. Faith, congregation, and presumption, they are things that are very, very different. They are different in their origins. One, faith that is from God. Presumption that is from man. Faith is a gift. Presumption is self-wrought. There is a great difference between faith and presumption in their definitions. Faith that rests, that relies on good grounds, but presumption relies on none at all. There is a great difference between faith and presumption in their ends, in their fruits. Faith is unto salvation. Presumption that is unto condemnation. That was what was experienced by the 10 virgins. Some having faith unto salvation, others presuming unto their eternal condemnation. Thus, a great difference. A great difference between faith and presumption. And yet, in the act of faith and in the act of presumption, very often we can see very little or no difference at all. So we see both Christian and pliable fleeing from that city of destruction. So we see both a Ruth and an Orpah leaving, coming out with tears of that country of Moab. No one can see the difference between the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise virgins. No, it is both Israel and it is Pharaoh with his host, and that are descending down, down, down into that Red Sea. You cannot see the difference, and yet their circumstances, and yet their hearts, and yet their motives, and yet their intentions, their ends, they are so very, very different. Some of these things we can see on the outside, but most of this is all contained within the inside. Some visible, but most of this is invisible. By faith, they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. And we do not have the time to tell the Bible story. We have read it together, but that is not our task either, is it, parents? That is your task. Do you do that task to tell the Bible story to your children that they may know what it says in the Bible? You say, I have not very much freedom and ability to tell the Bible story. That may be. There are also books. You can read them to your children. Thus, we have not to tell a Bible story, but we have to deal with those things in God's Word which are spiritual. By faith, we read, they passed through the sea as by dry land, by faith. What do you think, young people? Do you think that everyone now of the children of Israel had true faith? In catechism, you learn that it is not so. No, the Apostle Paul says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Thus, just because all of them are together circumcised, that does not mean that every one of them had true saving faith. And yet see the benefits that there are when that people, even without true saving faith, do join themselves unto the people of the Lord. There are so many earthly, there are so many external benefits that people do receive even by that external association with the people of God. Even though it is not for their eternal welfare. By faith they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. We cannot imagine what that consternation of the children of Israel was as they have stood there by the Red Sea. Very recently, they had left the land of Egypt, and they thought that that land of Egypt and Pharaoh in his might and in his power and in his rage against the children of Israel, they thought that they had left that all behind them. Now already they are brought into a great trial. Pharaoh had to let them go because that mighty hand of God was upon him. And now they thought that they had left him behind, but now they see of a sudden that Pharaoh, he is pursuing them. And there is now for the children of Israel no way out. Oh, they have before them a mighty sea. They have on their right and on their left hand impassable mountains. And they have now behind them a furious Pharaoh. Thus we see them, and they are closed in, as it were, on every side. Oh, that snare of the fowler, that net that has come down upon these fleeing birds. How is that in the life of a person? How is that in the life of a person when the Lord converts him, when the Lord regenerates him, because at this departure out of the land of Egypt, that is a picture for us of regeneration. And what is now so often in the foreground for that people? When they have come from life, from death unto life, what is now so often before them, so vividly as it was before the children of Israel as they have just departed from that land of Egypt? That they thought, for sure now it is death that lies before me. Oh, do you know what that is to be born again? Children, young people, do you know what that is? Then before us is death. Before us is judgment. Then we see that we cannot escape that death. That death that is so very, very real, that it is so very, very true. And even though I am maybe so very, very young yet, then I see that I am certainly traveling unto this judgment seat. Thus you see what is before the children of Israel. And now the children of Israel, they are standing there in their great need. They do not know where to turn. They cannot go to the right. They cannot go to the left. They cannot go forward. They cannot go backward. Thus they have come into an impossibility. Congregation, there are people today, you will hear them, young people, they will say, why don't you choose for the Lord? Why don't you leave the world and make your choice for God? You have nothing to lose. Because indeed, if the Bible is true, well, then you will have chosen for God. And if the Bible is not true, well, then you will have lost nothing. What is all this? That is nothing but human reasoning. That has absolutely nothing to do with the working of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. It has nothing to do with true saving faith, and it is a denial of the deep fall of man. It is not a matter of such a choice in the life of God's people. If it was a matter of such a choice in the life of God's people, then so many of the children of Israel had never left the land of Egypt. Oh, there they had the leeks, and there they had the onions, and there they had the cucumbers, and there they could enjoy that land of Egypt. No, it is not a matter of such a choice in the life of God's people. How many stayed behind, children? How many of the children of Israel stayed behind in the land of Egypt? Not one. Every one of them came out. How is that? It is because the Lord came. It is because the Lord worked. It is because the Lord made Egypt a bondage unto the children of Israel. Egypt became death to the children of Israel, so they were not able anymore to remain in that land. And how is it now? How is it now? Pharaoh, he is pursuing them. After they have come out, Pharaoh wants to bring them back again. Orpah went back. How is it that Orpah went back? Orpah went back because it was a matter of her own free will to leave. But Ruth could not go back. Tell Israel now to go back. Tell Israel now to make peace with Pharaoh. There is now an option when you have the sea before you and you have mountains on two sides. Make peace now, Israel. Make peace now with Pharaoh and go back. No, congregation, they cannot go back because Egypt, that has become death to the children of Israel. Pharaoh has become the enemy of the children of Israel. And they see that just as it is impossible for them to go forward, so impossible is it for that people to go back again. Thus we say, there are those who say, you have nothing to lose. Make that choice for God. If God exists, then it will be well. And if God does not exist, then it will not be well. Is that so? Did Israel have nothing to lose? What had they to lose? Congregation, they had to lose their own life. There they stand now. And what is it for them? When they have left that land of Egypt. And now they have to die. Do you make a choice? Do you make a choice? You say, I will choose now to serve the Lord. Count the costs. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, there was a man who was going to build a tower. And when we will build a tower, then we have to sit down and figure what will be the cost of that tower. Because if we have not sufficient when we are halfway through, we cannot finish. Everyone will be mocking with us. Count the cost. What does the Lord Jesus say? That he who does not hate his father and his mother, he who does not hate his wife or his children, he who does not hate his brother or his sister, he who does not hate what? He who does not hate his very life also cannot be my disciple. And he who will not take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. No, congregation, this is more than notion to leave that city of destruction. when a man is born again, faith is planted in his soul. And this is how he goes out of that land of Egypt. And it is faith that will keep this people in that way as they travel on this pilgrim's journey. And faith alone, by faith they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. And what kind of faith was that? We read that. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. O congregation, what is man? What is the church? What is God's people? It is not their choice to exercise faith. Also, the exercise of faith is a gift of God. What happens in the extremity of that people, in the distress of that people? Then we find something out. We find out what is living in their heart. What is that? Faith? Rebellion. Rebellion. Why? It's your fault. Why did you ever lead us out? Why didn't you leave us to be? Believe, people of the Lord. The Lord will go with you. Rebellion. Do you know what that is, people of the Lord? Congregation, away, away with Arminianism, and away with all practical Arminianism, and anything that will insinuate that there is something in the hands of man that will choose to go in the right way, that will choose to believe, that will choose to rely and to place himself upon the Lord. Away with it. That is not what lies in our heart. What lies in our heart when we are coming into this place of the children of Israel, that is revealing itself, that is rebellion that is lying in our heart. True faith, where does that come from? It comes from above. True faith that is God wrought. From our side, there is nothing but shortcomings. And yet, what does the Lord say? When the children of Israel experience what comes from them, the Lord still says, by faith they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. The Lord, with all its shortcomings, with all its sins, with all its weaknesses, with all its afflictions, the Lord still calls it faith. That is the word of the Lord. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? By faith they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. Passed through the Red Sea? Passed through the Red Sea? What one of the hundreds of thousands of Israel, when they were lying in bondage in the land of Egypt, and when they thought to come out of that land, when they desired to be delivered from all that power, what one of the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of Israel ever thought that they would pass through the Red Sea. But one of the hundreds and thousands that ever thought that this, the Red Sea, would be their deliverance. No, the deliverance of God's church is not in the way that they expect. The deliverance of God's church is to them a great surprise. And it is going in the life of that people in such an unexpected way. The blood of Christ, the active, the passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. But one of the hundreds and thousands of God's truly converted church had ever thought in the beginning that this would be their deliverance? Not one. But the Lord will lead them to it. And the Lord will give them to acquiesce in it, even though it is so against the way of their flesh. And where will the Lord give them to acquiesce in this? He will give them to acquiesce in it in their extremity, when every other way that is cut off. Because this is not a way that man chooses of himself. How mighty were the waters of that sea. When we would look at that sea, children, and when we would see the boiling of the waves of that water, oh, then how fearful then it can be to be caught in the waves of such a sea. And to all human calculations, that sea that can be nothing but their death. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He that will save his life shall lose it. And he who will lose his life for my sake, even the same shall save it. It is this sea that shall become a way for the children of Israel. When every other way is cut off, then this will become the way by faith. That is not the choice of the human heart. Can we understand that? No, because if the children of Israel had not been cut off from every other way, they had never proceeded. When there had been a passage through some crevice in the mountain, when there had been some way through that host of Pharaoh, when there had been any other way, the children of Israel had never gone down into that sea. No, that is not the choice of the human heart. Man does not just cast himself upon the Lord. He does not. But it is in his extremity that the Lord brings them to it. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. And how many fears in the heart of the people when they are going down between these great and these mighty waters. But what do they say? What did Esther say? She says, there is only one way. She says, if I perish, I perish. And then what do they find? Then they find what they fear to be death unto them is their life. The walls of water on one side and on the other side for their protection. By faith, they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. But how was that now for the Egyptians? We see that in our second thought, presumption and its fruits. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. So, well, then they have also faith that they believe that that sea is also going to be a way for them. That they also can do the same as the children of Israel. That they can descend into these mighty waters. And that the walls of water will be a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left as they were for God's people. And it seems like it is so. Because they go down into that water and they also find that that ground of the bottom of that sea that is dry for them. They can go upon it. And the chariots can go upon it. And so all that host of Pharaoh, they also may experience the same as the children of Israel, the miracle of the Lord. We would say also faith. Then it seems to go so well. And they can do as God's children. Until they are led by the Lord into the middle of that sea. And until the Lord looks through the pillar of the cloud. And of the fire. Until then. And then everything changes. Everything, congregation, changes in a moment. What a consternation for Pharaoh and all his host. So that in the middle of this terror, Pharaoh and the Egyptians are acknowledging. They say, the Lord is against us. They say, the Lord is fighting for the children of Israel. Were they warned? Were they warned before? Oh, yes, they were warned. 10 plagues until their very firstborn were torn away from their sides. They were warned. And now? And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Were they warned? Darkness. No light. While the children of Israel, they had light. Did the Egyptians know this from before in their life? They were not strangers of darkness, were they? This has happened before to them. Has it not? Was it not a 3 days foreboding of what was coming? And what has followed immediately upon that awful darkness? Was it not death? And now they experience it again. And the Lord sends again darkness upon the Egyptians. Oh, how it should have caused them to consider. how it should have caused them to stop and to consider whether or not they were in the right way. But they are left over to themselves. So they continue on and on in their hardness. Oh, if only they had turned back. If only they have considered, if only they had repented of their wicked ways. If only they had sought the God of Israel. Only they had done even as the mixed multitude we read, even some of those Egyptians in the land of Egypt who did join themselves, who did cast in their lot among the children of God's people and did go with them through that sea to the other side. Oh, if only they had come with the ropes about their necks. If only they had sued for mercy and for grace. But all the warnings, one after the other, they go unheeded by Pharaoh and all his host. To what? To their complete and to their awful destruction. And then they had to experience that they could not follow. They could not follow Israel into the midst of that sea. Then they had to experience that they could not do the same thing as the true people of God could do. The waters were a wall to them on the right and on the left. They thought it would be for them also, but they were so, so mistaken. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one. Why? Why? Why could Israel do it? And why could Pharaoh and his host not do it? Why was that same thing, that going down into the waters, why was this faith for Israel and presumption for Pharaoh? Why? Let us sing first. 344. 1-4. I to the hills will lift my eyes. O, whence shall come my aid? My help is from the Lord alone, who heaven and earth has made. 1-4 of 344. Congregation, why? Why could Israel do it? Why could Pharaoh and his host not do it? Why is it faith to one? And why is it presumption to another? The answer is not very difficult. The Lord gave to Israel a command and a promise. And this he did not give unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. That is the very simple answer. The Lord told Israel to go, but the Lord did not tell Pharaoh to go. The Lord promised Israel his protection in going, but the Lord never promised such a thing unto Pharaoh. Israel may go, but Pharaoh may not go. And this command to go, and this promise of protection for Israel was so necessary for them in order that they would go. How could they go otherwise? Upon what could they go? Down into that water. But what had the Lord said to them? And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Oh, how good. How good was the Lord to Israel. That was immediately after the children of Israel had expressed what lay in their heart. It was immediately when the children of Israel had come against Moses for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. It was immediately upon the expression of all the rebelliousness of their heart that the Lord gives to them a command and a promise. Oh, then the Lord, he is so good. Then the Lord will never forsake the work of his own hands. No, he has brought them out of that land of Egypt. And whatever is in the heart of that people, oh, he brought them not out of that land because they had good hearts. No, he brought them out of that land because it was his own will and good pleasure. And what remains in the heart of that people, that will never stand in the way of the Lord. But he will not forsake it. And though all that rebellion is expressed in their heart, oh, people of the Lord, how many times is that rebellion not living in your heart? Oh, you say, worthy to be cast away, and 100,000 times again, and yet how good that the Lord is. And now what a wonder to that people that the Lord gives them now. In their need, he gives them what they need to venture upon him. Oh, it is his own word. The Lord speaks unto them. He gives to them a commandment. He tells them that he will go with him. He shows them what is going to be the end of their venturing. Or he gives them an object. He gives them an object for faith, for true faith to cling to. He gives them something for that true faith to hold on to. He gives them something wherein that true faith may flee for refuge as they are going down into those waters. Oh, he gives them something for a true faith to return to him continually in all their fear, that they may say, remember, O Lord, the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. O Lord, do not let it go. Thou hast promised me that thou wilt fight for me and that we would hold our peace. Oh, the Lord gives to that people. He gives them that which that faith is able to grasp unto. But this is exactly what Pharaoh and his host missed. It is just this lack that made what was faith to Israel into presumption for Pharaoh. Pharaoh had no right to go forward. Pharaoh had no command to go forward. Neither did Pharaoh have any comfort in going forward, for he had no promise in going forward. There were no good grounds for Pharaoh to proceed down into this sea. What did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh presumed upon the promise that was given not to him, but to God's people. He took it for himself. He stole it for himself. And for a little time, all seemed to go so well. But congregation, it did not remain this way. What is presumption? That is to take something for granted. That is to take something for granted that we actually have ourselves no right to. We read of the seven sons of Sceva, and they have called over the evil spirits the name of the Lord. But they were ashamed in their presumption because they had no command and authority of the Lord to do this. How many persons in this world do not presume under the name of faith? We read of a man who has come in without a wedding garment. We read of five who are standing at the door, five foolish virgins. Presumption. How many do presume upon the name of faith? Many. That is not our word. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, many will do this. Many will say, have we not prophesied in thy name, etc. Many. Of all those many, are we included in this presumption? Oh, if we desire congregation, the portion of that people, do you know where we must come in? We must come in at the straight gate. And we must enter at that narrow way and not climb over the wall. It must be by regeneration. And the deliverance of the children of Israel, what was that? That is a picture for us of that true regeneration. Out of bondage, out of death. And then they are baptized in the sea. A picture of that sacramental initiation into the true church of God, a picture of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Egyptians, they presume upon it. They presume upon that sacrament. They presume upon Christ. They presume upon him without what? Without a new birth. They are a picture of those who had no true beginning. Pharaoh, who is taking now bold steps, he is coming to high things, even to presume upon the promises of God's church in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he misses the very elemental things. And what is that? Oh, Egypt that has never become a bondage to him. No, this is not the people of the Lord. This is not the people who have cried to the Lord. This is not the people whose sin has become a bondage and a burden unto them. And yet they will take hold. Yet they will take hold of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? They don't want to drown in the waters. But it is not upright. They have not a true beginning. And their end is not right. Their purpose is not right. They remain the enemies of the people of the Lord. Faith, congregation, that is a great consolation. Faith, that is a great comfort to God's people, his afflicted, his poor people, who are given with the children of Israel in all their need and in all their impossibility to now cast themselves upon the blood of that mediator. But Pharaoh, oh, he will try to take that comfort to himself, but it would be better if Pharaoh would have feared a little. Would have been better if Pharaoh was not so bold in his undertaking, because he had no grounds. What are your grounds? What are your grounds for comfort? What are your grounds for consolation? We have now to examine our grounds. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned because they had no grounds. What a different end. The fruit of faith and the fruit of presumption are so very different. The one is dry land unto life, and the other is an awful, a terrifying death. What are our grounds for courage, for confidence? God's word, congregation, needs to be applied in a personal way. And we need to be made honest with that word of God. Let me give to you, before we close, one difference that we may examine for ourselves. Is it now presumption or is it now true faith? What is now the tendency of presumption, and what is now the tendency of that true faith? That is not so difficult. What does presumption tend to do, and what is our aim when we presume? When we presume, we aim to give ourselves a clearance. We aim to prevent for ourselves distress of our conscience when we presume. What do we presume? We say, God will look through his fingers at my sin. God will not exact every one of them. Therefore, I'm quiet. We presume upon his mercy. We presume upon his grace. God is merciful. Therefore, it will not be so bad. And what do? I try to prevent the distress of soul because of my condition and my state by nature. Presumption is an attempt to prevent the distress of soul. But faith is something else. Faith is not for prevention, but faith is for the removal of that distress. Faith is for the deliverance from that distress. After that painful inquiry, after the cause of my misery. So that was for Israel. By faith, they were what? They were delivered from their great distress. After so many years, they were delivered from it by faith when that sea became for them dry land. But Pharaoh presumed, and he prevented for himself all distress when he took for himself promises of the Lord, and when he promised to himself that without true repentance, he could still trust that those waters would be his safety. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Outwardly, the same act. Very different here. Very different in their circumstances. Very different motives. A very different heart. And, oh, how different were their ends. Were their ends. How different is the end of faith from the end of presumption. That is no small matter. That's a matter of life and death. It is a matter of eternal life and eternal death. Congregation, the Lord take from us our presumption. Do we presume? Do you presume? Let us examine it for one moment yet. Do you presume? Do you try to put yourself at ease by presuming that it will not be so bad? How else do we sleep at night? Knowing that we are unconverted, then we presume. We presume something. We presume God will not be just. We presume God will not carry out his threat. We presume God will be merciful, God will be gracious unto me, even though I do not want to repent of my wickedness. Oh, the Lord, take away all our presumption and all the rest that is the result of our presumption. And the Lord give to us, congregation, that cry of the children of Israel. when that Egypt became to them such a bondage that cry has ascended unto heaven, so that God himself, that he did say, I have seen. I have seen. Has the Lord seen it also of us? I have seen the affliction of my people that is in Egypt. Where are they? Where are they in our congregation that the Lord sees? And that he says, I have heard their groaning. Did that come from your bedroom this morning, children? A groaning? I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct and teach us. Convert us, Lord, send thy Spirit. We cannot give it to ourselves, but we presume by nature. We have no true saving faith. O, look on us. Give us true repentance, and wilt thou bring us to that place, so impossible for our flesh, but so necessary, that we may be given to cast ourselves upon thee and all thy word. Remember us, give us, bring us safely to our homes, and give us the ability to be in thy house in this afternoon to speak and to hear. Forgive all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 207 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is known among his people. Every mouth his praises fill. From of old he hath established his abode on Zion's hill. And there he broke the sword and arrow, bade the noise of war be still. 1, 2, and 3 of 207. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.